From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, a show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says a little, goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, ever-cape-wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, my brother, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey, Bob. I feel like I'm having deja vu here.
Yeah, I something. Oh, I don't have much words for it.
Well, and again, we're not going to harp on it too much, but for the folks that are on the podcast side of things, we started a live show, but right as we were starting, we had tornado warnings go off, the sirens were going off,
and I'm...
We played like Weathermen for like a half hour, basically.
Exactly, so. And then we were all concerned because, you know, other radio studios are in these nice steel bunkers. We are not in a soundproof steel bunker. We are surrounded by glass on all sides.
The old studio would have protected
us. Old studio, I would have just kept going live. Yeah. That old studio survived the apocalypse.
We wouldn't even know what was going on.
No, we'd probably hear the rain maybe, but yeah, and there's nothing wrong with the studio, right? I love the studio we're in, but the problem is we're at ground level.
There's glass around.
And there's glass everywhere surrounding me. So we kind of... I was like, I don't know what to do, and I'm sure there's people tuning into the radio trying to find out what's going on, and I'm like, well, this is Bob After Dark, guys. We talk about ghosts. I'm not a meteorologist.
Bob, I guarantee you, if you weren't here, I don't think anybody would be in here right now. So you talked them – listen, at the end of the day, you talked them through the warnings.
Absolutely.
The new Tom Skilling.
No, that gentleman who's taking over Tom Skilling's job is going to do great. I am not a meteorologist. I watch radar, but that's about it.
You're fifth in line. So you're not a storm chaser or anything like that.
I am not a storm chaser. I enjoy watching storms from afar. You will not catch me up in the area here.
And we do want to thank, before we get into the episode, we want to thank the callers that chimed in before the show officially started. John with the update from
yes, thanks, John, and thank you, Kristen.
We had Kristen asking a very good question, too, about the weather and storms affecting the paranormal and the updates on the text line as well, so we appreciate all that.
Absolutely. Yep. We're safe. Sounds like the region's safe.
We did it. We saved
so
the region.
So we're going to do a kind of a weird abridged episode of Bob After Dark here. We're just going to skate right along here. So, Count, let's get a weekend update, Count.
Oh, Bob. Again, more deja vu. Well, the weekend was spent a lot of you in Elgin, Illinois.
At the Dark Matters Podcast Festival on Saturday.
Yeah, and as we filmed this, I know Elgin had some storms and tornadoes going
on. Of course,
all
of our thoughts and prayers and energy goes out to those affected by those storms up in the, you know, northwest burbs and whatnot, because I know like Aurora, Geneva, and all that actually just got to see some tornado action tonight. Tonight we just got the sirens and we had some pretty scary moments here while we were live at the beginning, but now we're okay. But I felt, thoughts go out to those affected by the storms tonight.
But Elgin, I mean, that was a heck of a time. A lot of fun people came out. You had a big group out there.
We did, yeah. I got shout out to my Windy City Ghostbuster friends. They packed the house. They packed the house, and it was a cool feeling to have that, to say the least.
And the official name for that was the
Dark Matters Podcast Festival.
Dark Matters Podcast Festival.
Yes, and they're hosting another one in May called Laughing Matters Podcast. Was that what Nick said it was called?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, there's another podcast festival going on there in May. We're not a comedy show, but I wonder if we could find a way to fit into that programming.
Start telling yuck jokes.
Yeah, it's some paranormal funny stories.
Well, and again, we shared a stage with two other great podcasts.
Well, yes, Ramification. Yeah. I know that's not the name of their show, and I'm going to feel like a jerk because I don't remember it. And then Quite Unusual Podcast was also there as well. And surrounded by really great talent in that room. I had so much fun with everybody. I couldn't have asked for a better experience with everybody involved. So just shout out to all the talent involved with Dark Matters. And Nick at Side Street Studios is just amazing. And I'm not just saying that because he's my boss at the podcast network, but Nick's an amazing host and did a really good job with that fest.
And also, I mean, those podcasts, very interesting from your dreams, your interpretations of your dreams and how crazy dreams are just in general. I mean, think about that. Yeah, and you told your story about your dream, how you asked the time. And you're not supposed to ask anybody the time in a dream, correct?
No, that so I've never shared that story on here before. Really? Maybe I'll save that for another time.
Okay.
But the dream interpreters, they took a dream, like a really scary moment I had in a dream once. Maybe I'll share that for next week.
You'll have to, yeah.
Yep,
so cliffhanger.
100%.
Yeah.
Because tonight we're just going to try to barrel through as much as we can because I don't want this to run super late. We're cut about a half hour.
Yeah.
But, you know, if this is your first time, you know, if you're tuning in on the radio trying to find storm news, welcome to Bob After Dark. We talk, you know, the show's about, we are your weekly, yeah, I know, but we're your weekly-ish show where we talk about legends, lore, supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite movie about bad storms.
Well, I'll go with the Twister.
Twister's a good answer.
Twister's a classic.
I don't know if Volcano counts as weather, so if it does, I will say Dante's Peak for me. And if Dante's Peak doesn't count, I will say Deep Impact with the Tidal Wave.
Is Day After Tomorrow more of a...
That's like an apocalyptic weather situation. Like
it's got a lot of weather stuff.
But absolutely.
Not centered. That's more grave situation as far as things happening, but... I'll stick with Twister, Bob.
100%. So, you know, Colin, I'm happy to be here with you.
Yeah, Bob.
So we usually split Bob After Dark up into two parts. The first part of the night is the weird spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the internet for the weird and unusual news. Anything from ghost sightings to cryptid encounters to lights in the sky being captured on grainy cell phone footage. Or advances in science that borderline on science fiction. And then we get to the lore of the week, ripped right from the diaries of Dr. Ben Vanerson. And it was that's our meat and potatoes of the episode.
The meat and potatoes.
You eat the meat, I eat the potatoes, because I'm a vegetarian.
That makes sense.
So this week we're going to cover one news story, and then we're going to dive into the lore of the week. How does that sound?
All right.
Actually, you know what? Let's just keep going. We're good. Okay, so our first news story today is actually sent in by a viewer, viewer Mark. Thank you so much for sending this in. It's from the USA Today, written by Julia Gomez. A zombie deer disease cases are rising in the U.S., and can this disease spread to humans? Experts aren't sure if the zombie deer disease can spread to humans, but they're concerned about the rising number of cases and the potentials of humans being impacted by exposure to infected deer. Scientists are still unsure if humans can contract the illness, but the disease is being compared to a mad cow disease but found in deers. As of yet, there hasn't been transmission from deer to elk or to humans. Jennifer Molinow, an associate professor at the Wildlife Ecology and Management at the University of Maryland, told the BBC. However, given the nature of this disease, the CDC and other agencies have supported all the efforts to keep any prion disease out of the food chain, which is really important. Any documented transmission to humans would result in a crisis, according to research published in a presentation by Michael Osterholm, the director of the Center of Infectious Disease Research and Policy. The disease calls for agencies to be prepared for disastrous consequences of the disease spreading to humans or production animals like cattle. It also states that the increasing spread could lead to the emergence of new strains. To date, 10 chronic wasting disease CWD strains have been characterized. The presentation states the expanding range of CWD in North America and its presence in South Korea, as well as Scandinavian countries, will potentially result in millions of deer infected with CWD. The USA Today reached out to Osterholm and a number of members of the Center of Infectious Disease Results and Policy, but have not heard back yet. What is the zombie deer disease we're talking about? Right now, it's kind of up in the air on what it is. The disease, also known as chronic wasting disease, is a type of prion disease, a rare progressive with progressive neurodivergence disorders. While scientists are still unsure what the specific strain can spread to a person, prion diseases in general can affect both humans and animals. Mad cow disease is an example of said strain of sickness that can be spread from cattle to humans. CWD, this new one, affects deer, elk, reindeer, silka deer, and moose, according to the CDC. Affected animals have been found in Canada, United States, Norway, and South Korea. How does this disease spread? Well, it's through proteins or prions spread through the following: feces, saliva, blood, and urine. Experts say this disease can also spread quickly throughout a population. So if this thing gets out of hand, this is going to become a real big problem really fast. Hashtags panics take.
Yeah, I heard about this zombie deer stuff before, and it is kind of spooky. Hopefully they get it all situated, but, I mean, a deer could be, I don't say intimidating, but they could be wily creatures in general, but then you add that zombie element to them and almost cryptid-like, correct?
Yes. So it's a very strange, because I've seen pictures of like skin deteriorating and stuff. We have a caller?
We do have a caller.
Let's take the caller live.
We'll take it live.
We'll caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there, caller. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Paul from Chicagoland.
Hey, Paul from Chicagoland. How's the weather? You all safe?
So far so good. Still got the windows open and the windows
smoking like a true Chicagoan. Just leave the windows open.
Yeah. Got to air out the apartment somehow, right?
Exactly. What's on your mind tonight, Paul?
I started to break off topic, but I had a ghost story I wanted. You know,
oh no! Sure. Hit me with a ghost story. We love that stuff here.
So I was on a ghost hunt in Indiana. And we were at a location where someone had passed away, and we were, in the room where it happened, and we were out there with our meters and audio things like that, and the meters were spiking, and I got some very, very interesting audios off of that.
Oh, what did you catch with anything said on it?
It wasn't very verbal. I mean, it was just off from the spectrum. There were spikes.
Okay, sure. That's really interesting, man. Did you know if there was anything else going on in the house, or did you guys catch anything else?
Well, I mean, someone had passed away there, there was still stains on the carpet when it happened.
Oh, geez, that's not good.
But being in that environment, it's like, oh wow, you're actually in that environment where someone had passed away, and then you're there with trying to see if something is residual and left behind, spiritual wise, there's something there.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you calling in, Paul, about that. I appreciate ghost stories on the show. That's primarily what the phone line's for. We encourage people to call in with their ghostly encounters, and it sounds like you had definitely something there that wanted to reach out and chat with you guys.
There were spikes, on the meters, I couldn't make out anything on the audio, but There were like spikes on the audio when it was supposed to be dead quiet, and I was like, okay, something's trying to say something.
Of course. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Paul. We really appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Absolutely. Stay safe out there, Paul. Hopefully all the weather bad stuff's already passed everybody here.
Well, I say the wind finally died down, which is like the calm before the storm, as they say. So
absolutely. Well, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
Well, you have a wonderful night.
You have a better one, sir.
Take care.
Thank you.
I was going to say, just get that winter jacket out.
Absolutely. We have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Terry, calling from South Dakota.
Hi, Terry from South Dakota. That's a surprise.
Hi, I saw your post that you wanted to hear about like teenager ghost stories, and I remember once as a like about 10 years old or so, my grandmother had passed away, and my cousin and I would sit on the floor of her old room with a candle lit, and we would ask the candle flame to move in certain directions, and it freaked us out because most of the time it wouldn't move the way we asked.
Yeah, wow. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Can't explain that with a breath of wind or a draft from a vent.
No, no. Well, we would sit on the floor with the candle, and it would move in every direction. So it just, you know, it kind of scared us a little bit. But we were hoping to reach out to Grandma, and, you know, who knows if we were really able to, connect with her or something like that. But it would just, it really freaked us out a lot when we were kids.
That's fair. Have you tried it again since?
Yeah, we tried it a couple times when we were young. But
okay.
No, we haven't tried it since then.
Maybe it sounds like it's time for you guys to try again as adults and see if you get the same results.
Hey, you never know, right?
Absolutely. I appreciate you calling in all the way from South Dakota. We covered White Lady Lane in North Dakota last week, so this is all kinds of interesting. Well, thank you for calling in, Terry. We really appreciate you.
Oh, sure. Yeah, have a good night, guys.
You too.
Glad you're safe from the storms.
Absolutely. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, bye now.
Have a good one.
How about that?
How about South Dakota?
And so the candle...
the candle flame would move. I've done candle flame seances before. I should say I've done it once. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to tell what's going on because the candle flame is very sensitive. Like, I can just very gently blow on it and it'll move in the direction. But when it's moving around erratically, it's like how much different drafts of air could be going on at once.
Yeah.
That was the situation I was in. I don't know what to make of, you know, candle reading like that. I am not specialized in that form of spiritual communication.
Yeah, no. But eerie, it would be equally eerie as an adult, I feel like, if you a candle kind of moved on command. But,
absolutely. Yeah. By the way, Count Panic, well, what's your hashtag Panic's take on the zombie deer disease?
Yeah, like I said, I heard about zombie deer before. Deer kind of sketchy in general. Seeing a zombie deer would be even more sketchier and terrifying. Hopefully they get situated, though, because someone's up with those deers, Bob, and it's not good that they look like zombies, so to speak.
All right, and we just got a text message on the Bob After Dark hotline.
We did.
The Bob After Dark hotline is back up and running, folks. So it is, one moment, I got to pull it back up, because the unfortunate thing is I had to reset the phone number.
Okay.
And it was not what I wanted it to be anymore. But we have a brand new number on the Bob After Dark number list, and our phone number is 312-715-7314. Again, so the Bob After Dark hotline is open 24 hours a day, 365 days a week. Call in with weird, unexplained instances, ghost encounters, cryptid encounters, or if you just want to call in and say that me and Count Panic are full of crap, or you can say you're a fan of the show. We open it up to anybody to reach out to us. If you try to call me, it's going to go straight to voicemail, but it's still a really interesting thing. Bob After Dark hotline, open all the time, 312-715-7314. And we got a message from Veronica in Wisconsin. Veronica in Wisconsin reports in with watching our show last week, actually.
Okay.
So right before we went live last week, there was a weird instance where she was there and all of a sudden the smell of cigarette smoke appeared in the house. And she's not a cigarette smoker, but it just happened to make an appearance. But what was interesting before that was she was laying on the couch waiting for the show to begin, and the fan blades on the ceiling, her living room fan, started spinning in one direction, like just gently kind of turning, and then it turned back the other direction.
Interesting.
So we appreciate you chiming in about that,
yeah.
Veronica. If somebody in your life, cigarettes is a very distinct smell. You know, if it was something malevolent, usually you get that smell of rotten eggs, sulfur, right? But the fact that it's cigarette smoke makes me wonder if it's like what they call phantom smells. Usually you hear it with perfume. If there is somebody that was alive that wore a certain perfume or cologne, sometimes you'll catch that with like florists. If they were once alive, you might catch a whiff of flowers, or maybe somebody was a gardener or kept roses. You might catch the whiff of roses or flowers or perfume. So in this case with the cigarette, I'm going to call it another phantom smell, and I will say that it's very possible. And them just moving the fan was the one thing you happen to be looking at the time, and they're like, hi, we're here, nice to see you, whoever that might be.
Wow. How about that?
Yes. So thank you so much, Veronica, for texting us in. We appreciate you.
On our text line.
On the text, the Bob After Dark text line. Not even WJOB's.
And Bob, I would be remiss. I don't know if you were going to, I mean, we should probably bring this up.
What's that?
Because it's a big day in Bob After Dark.
We're going to get to that.
You want
to
save it?
We're going to save that.
Second half?
Yeah. We're going to, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about it, and then I'm going to make an ad about it. So then when people hear me, then they're going to listen to an ad that I'm going to record about.
This is all in live time?
This is all live time. So we'll get to it.
Wow.
We'll get to it. We'll get to
that?
It. All right. So zombie deer disease,
yeah.
It's scary stuff.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to our next news article, which comes to us from the Reading Chronicle. This is written by somebody. It just says 26th February. This is a super United Kingdom website. So this is not... not formatted anywhere like what we're used to. But the news article says that a creepy 18th century doll with a murder article dress sells for 27,500 euros.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So a creepy 18th century doll wearing a petticoat made from a newspaper article about the brutal murder of a maid has sold in Berkshire for 27,500 euros. The wooden doll belonged to Austin Smith and his late partner, Margaret Hawkins. The couple spent 75 years secretly collecting more than 1,000 dolls, which filled the shelves of their home. That sounds like my personal nightmare. The largest and most valuable doll collection seen in 25 years is under the hammer in two sales to fetch 500,000 euros in auction. Who is paying 500,000 euros for a bunch? Never mind.
Somebody out there.
Somebody. And I appreciate people that are fans of dolls. I get it. I'm being a little bit more tongue-in-cheek because fans of the show know that I'm scared of dolls. Last Thursday, this was would have been February 22nd, the Maid Murderess doll sold for 27,500, smashing the estimate of between 8,000 and 12,000 euros. The doll, which was made right around 1740, features a grim-faced woman wearing a flowing yellow gown with blue trim. In a dark twist, her petticoat is made up of pages from a broadcast newspaper article about a mistress and her daughter murdering their maid. A legless wooden doll from 1765 called Peggy also exceeded its lower $10,000 estimate, but it sold for 11,875 pounds, or euros, it's euros, sorry. Austin and Margaret's remarkable collection has gone under the hammer at the Special Auction Services SAS in Newbury. It looks like that right back when the first round of the articles, which will be taking place, ultimately came in at 315,425, and then the second one taking place in April, which is where they believe that this number will come from. And that's quite a lot of dolls to have. And this is a quote from one of the auctioneers. I was staggered by the first room, which was full of the best antique dolls you could imagine. They shone in a corridor full of wall-mounted cabinets and of small dolls, and another room of dollhouses, a room of automata, and then further to more rooms of dolls. And there had to have been over 1,000 of these things. Hashtag panic stake.
Yeah, Bob, this sounds like your own personal...
That sounds like a place I don't ever want to be.
But can you imagine... if this is a room a tornado is going on, that'd be the ultimate terrifying.
Yeah, no, more terrified about the viewers. I felt bad at that moment.
We were doing fine. But the dolls themselves, one, it's an absurd amount of money, right? Two,
that's a lot of money. I get it. So it's interesting that the petticoat is made out of like a newspaper article from some person's murder. So that would sell. Like, I hang around oddities shows sometimes and I see these types of things. Happen. So this would be an item that would fit really well on an oddity show, to say the least.
I'm not one to tell you how to spend your cash, but if you did have the extra dough, I don't see why you would spend it on this, but that's just me, Bob, and that's my take.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the last news article. This is a cryptid story, but it's a good cryptid story.
A friendly cryptid.
Well, it's not a friendly cryptid by any means. It's one of the most terrifying in North America. We haven't covered it on the show yet, but it's one of the more popular ones, growing in popularity so much so that this article is written on WestVirginiaNewsTV.com by Sam Gorski, and it is the Grafton Monster is getting its own festival this year.
Really?
Yes, Grafton, West Virginia. So this is by WBOY, which is their, you know, we have WJOB here, but WBOY is their name, which is kind of fun because whenever you get like a full word in your, what's the word for that? When you're, your called name?
Yeah, I forget the term.
Yeah, of called name. I think it's funny that it's WBOY.
Or call letter.
Call letter, yeah.
But you're talking about the term for...
Yes, I just think it's cute that it's WBOY. But anyway, the Grafton Monster will finally be joining fellow cryptids Mothman, Bigfoot, and will be getting its own festival in its honor in 2024. The festival will take place on June 15th and 16th and will coincide with the opening of the Grafton Monster Museum, which will be located inside Black Cat Rookery Bookstore. Festivities begin at 10 a.m. on Saturday and will conclude on 5 p.m. the next day on Father's Day. Alicia Lyons, the owner of the Black Cat Rookery Bookstore and the upcoming Grafton Monster Museum, said that she is thinking about organizing a Grafton Monster event for several years after seeing the success of other cryptid festivals around West Virginia. After realizing that 2024 would be the 60th anniversary of the original sighting of the monster, she decided that this year would be the perfect time to start. The two-day event will have several speakers, including Les O'Dell, from our friends at the Moth Boys podcast, and many more. And of course, no cryptid festival would be complete without craft and clothing vendors and a cornhole tournament to be played on Sunday.
Wow.
West Virginia, you stay out of our Indiana traditions now. Indiana is the official state of cornhole, I think.
Yeah, I think we're big on it.
Absolutely. Lyons said she's not sure how many people are actually turning up. She's tentatively expecting 500 to 1,000 attendees. And West Virginia monster festivals have been historically well attended in recent years. The Mothman and Bigfoot festivals attracting several thousand attendees. The Mothman festival is like on my bucket list of something I want to speak at so bad. Everybody says that to me. It's just the Mothman festival either runs at a really an unfortunate time. The one year I was planning on going, COVID hit.
Yeah,
I was reaching out to them to speak and everything. Then COVID hit. And then the following year, I want to say I was at another convention when it was going on. And then one year it fell on my mother's birthday. Mm. So it's just always unfortunate timing. But someday I've always wanted to speak at the Mothman Festival, and I would like to. Also, shout out to the Moth Boys podcast. They're actual like friends of mine. Not really friends. I've chatted with them and I listened to their show. They're good guys. So I'm really excited for them. Good job, everybody. And I'm excited. Hashtag panic steak for the start.
Yeah, you know, it's great when you could rally around a cryptid and celebrate them. It's not too often, right? But, you know, Mothman and whatnot has a fest. But good on them. There's got to be like a Nessie fest somewhere, right?
If there is not a Loch Ness Monster Festival in Loch Ness in Scotland, I would be very surprised.
Because I'm sure there's
plenty of fast Loch festivals. I am sure that their local tourism board or something has a Loch Ness Monster Festival. I guarantee it. I've never heard of it, but I'd be willing to bet that's a thing.
And I know during the holiday season, Krampus Fest is big.
Yeah, and I've done those Krampus Fests.
Yeah.
The Squonk had a festival in Pennsylvania last year for the first time. Loveland, Ohio had the Loveland Frog Festival last year as well. So there's more and more of these cryptid festivals popping up all over, but the mecca of them is definitely in West Virginia. You know, Mothman Fest was like the real big first paranormal festival about one cryptid.
Yeah.
And we haven't covered the Grafton Monster on here yet, so put that in my memory bank as something I'd like to cover in the very near future.
And no word on the Yule Cat Fest.
We're going to be the ones to host Yule Cat Fest. That would be a thing.
Yeah.
Welcome to Yule Cat Fest, everybody.
Everybody gets clothing.
Everybody gets socks at their ticket purchase.
Yeah.
Let's put that in our memory bank count. Let's maybe have a Yule Cat Festival.
All right. Where should we have it?
I don't know. I'm just saying in general, we should think about that. Yeah. That would be a goal. That would be something to say the least. It's really exciting to be able to see some of these different cryptids getting, you know, know-how. I guess I would just be concerned of oversaturation in the market, but the same people that would go to Mothman Fest would probably go to the Grafton Fest anyway.
I'm sure.
Just food for thought.
Yeah, crossover.
All right. So without further ado, Count, this would usually be the part in the show when I say we're cutting over to a podcast that you should be listening to or a live fan. Stick around. We'll be right back. But because of the interruption, I'm going to make a really exciting announcement for our ad this week.
All right.
Starting hopefully next week, the Bob After Dark online store is opening.
Now, what's happening, Bob?
The Bob After Dark official merch store is opening.
I heard that correctly.
You did. Wow. So, I need to finish. Shout out the Queen of Night. She's been putting up with so much artwork for me lately. I can't thank her enough. She's working on helping getting some designs done. But the very sad-looking BobAfterDark.com is going to go through some changes. We're going to be fixing up some things on the website. And when you go to BobAfterDark.com, there's going to be a plugin on there, hopefully. That'll be on there. If not, I'll be launching it through something else. Either way, it's getting launched. You're going to be able to go to this the Printful, like, Shopify, the Printful plugin on my website, or like a standalone store, whatever it might be. You're going to be able to go on there and order Bob After Dark merch.
Wow.
We've been, at one point we've done shirts. We had candles that we made or that Annie made. And then we had the, we had merch as far as me and you had t-shirts.
Yeah.
But back then it's a very expensive thing and you're carrying around a bunch of shirts, right?
So back in the day we prepaid and then
we prepaid. It was
now it's on demand.
On demand. Yes. So what that means is right now I don't know what products we're launching. Because as of the today that we're recording this episode, Bob After Dark is an official business.
This was breaking news.
That's breaking news today. Media. Yeah, like that was breaking news as of today. Like Kyle Panic and I are officially business owners.
I saw you at the steps of City Hall.
Yeah, I was there at the county courthouse. And it's going to be amazing. And so that's my ad this week is stick around because we're also going to be launching the Bob After Dark Patreon real soon.
Wow.
I don't know what that means yet. I don't know what the rewards are for the for that sort of thing. We're trying to figure out what the reward system is for the Patreon. I don't see me charging more than $10 a month for it unless something wild happens. Things have been oddly like snowballing into this really cool thing. We hit affiliate on the Bob After Dark Twitch channel, which is amazing in and of itself. And I'm just really excited to be able to give you guys an opportunity for something that I've never been able to have before,
yeah.
Which is to offer you guys merch. So this is like an opportunity. So at launch in my brain, if I had a chance to tell you what merch you're going to be able to buy off the bat, because the website Printful I'm going to be using offers a ton of products. So off the cuff t-shirts and both, Kyle Panic's going to see if he can get his logo back up and running, but at launch, Bob After Dark logo t-shirts, I want to do a hoodie, a baseball cap, and maybe a stocking cap. Those are all ideas that we have in our brain right now. There's tank tops available. There's a lot of cool things on there. It's just, how does it look being designed?
Yeah.
So I'm very excited.
Some revamps.
Exactly. I have my B logo that I would like to use. So that's not up now. I have to wait. There's several things going on with the brand new Bob After Dark bank account, which was really weird, by the way, to go to the bank, open up a bank account for Bob After Dark, and I got my first set of checks today.
Did they say anything?
The checks literally say Robert Anderson, Bob After Dark.
Does the bank say, what is Bob After Dark?
So the woman who opened up my business account at the bank already knew about the show.
Really, nothing.
Yeah, so she was like, okay. I know your shirt. You're that guy from WJOB, right? And so we started chit-chatting, and it was a really cool experience. I'm very excited to be able to say that. And so we're going to be launching here really soon.
We need to get the Bob After Dark credit cards.
Yes.
With the logo on the credit card. You could just purchase.
We don't have – there's no Bob After Dark credit card
like
yet.
The Batman.
But, yeah, the Batman credit card. It'll be me and Count Panic fighting over Poison Ivy, and then you're like, I've used the card.
That's big news there, Bob. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm so proud of it. And this is a gift, like, to all of you. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a caller.
We got a caller.
Let's take it live. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob. What's going on? Congratulations on your big day.
Oh, thank you. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Frank from Joliet.
Hi, Frank from Joliet. What's on your mind tonight?
You know, I don't know, for merch, are you going to have Mothman-friendly lamp bulbs?
Oh, good question.
That might be a convention exclusive, Frank.
Hopefully ethically sourced.
Yes, ethically sourced Mothman light bulbs. That's so
just
funny.
Throwing it out there.
That's some good merchandise.
I like it. A Mothman lampshade. I think there's something to that. Frank, you're a think tank. Has anybody ever told you that before?
Yeah, I know.
Joking aside, let me peel back the curtains. I know exactly who Frank is. He's a member of the Windy City Ghostbusters, friend of mine. But I appreciate you calling in, buddy.
Did we break our record today?
We're at five. Tonight, we're going to just kind of write off as an episode because the first half of the episode was us spending it in a tornado warning.
We were the Tom Skillings of
we were breaking like weather news, which is unusual for me, and I'm like, don't know what I'm doing, but I'm surrounded by a bunch of glass.
Yeah, it's pretty wild tonight. So
absolutely,
all your listeners are safe.
Absolutely, you too. So. You and yours, Frank.
All right, bud. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
And but Frank has a point. If anybody has suggestions, we'll listen.
Oh, listen, I am not opposed to doing a Mothman lampshade. I think that's kind of clever. Now somebody else is going to do a Mothman lampshade. Is everything okay over there? I'm not used to watching you text while I'm working.
I'm just making sure everything's okay.
I can understand that. That makes perfect sense.
We're checking on our peoples.
Absolutely. So Bob After Dark merch is legitimately coming within the next week or so. The Bob After Dark Patreon experience. I don't know what I'm doing yet on there, but we're doing something. Don't know what that something is, but we're doing something.
I said before the show, $500 you get to spend the day with Bob, maybe.
Oh, no, you did not say that. let me fix that sentence for you. Kyle Panic's like, well, what are we going to do for the Patreon? And I'm like, I don't know yet. Video shout-outs or something? We'll get to it. Like, I never thought I'd make it this far.
No.
Because, you know, like, it's a whole thing with mental health, right? And I'm not going to get into it on the show, but like sometimes you just get to a point when you just don't feel like doing the things anymore. You feel like you're giving up on your dreams. And I finally was able to get a grip on it. And I'm standing at the forefront of something really nice. And I'm very proud of that.
On the verge of tomorrow.
On the verge of tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the wings of destiny.
Something like that. But I'm very excited and very thrilled to be able to offer that to you guys. But for $500, you could spend the day with Count Panic.
Hey, I'm sold. $500?
Yes.
I'd be honored if somebody paid $500 just to hang out with me all day.
Absolutely. It's $500. I don't know what y'all are going
to
do.
We'll go to the bar.
Count Panic's like, you want
to
go have some cheese curds? Yeah. Go to the cheese castle. Yeah. You want some curds? You want to have some beers?
That's actually a great idea. $500 to spend the day with me at the cheese castle.
You're going to get through it in an hour.
What? You could spend more than an hour. You could get lost in the whole day at the cheese castle. So many cheeses to get through.
Absolutely.
So little time. Yeah.
But I'm very excited to be able to offer that to you guys. Beyond thrilled. And I'm overtired at this point because I've been up all like early because you have to get there early to wait in line to get there because everybody's there. So I'm just really proud and I'm really thankful for everybody for sticking by my side all this time so I can get my act together because now I have my act together and I could say I'm a legitimate business owner with Bob After Dark and it is a weird, weird thing to say out loud. So don't give up on following your dreams, everybody. Like, don't do that. Don't let that bad voice in your head win. Push through. Persevere. I love you. If you need help, you can reach out to me. I'm here for you.
Go to City Hall.
Go to City Hall to get your business license. Figure out what you want. Do the thing, whatever that thing is that you want to do. Once upon a time ago, my mentor, Mary Beth O'Connor in college, once told me, that
go
if you want
to,
no, I'm just saying in general, as far as the do the thing, whatever it is that you want to do, if you want to be a ditch digger, go out and be the best ditch digger you could possibly be. Go win some awards being a ditch digger and be proud that that's what you're doing. Find pride in what you're doing and do whatever it is that you want to do. Figure it out. I have faith in you.
There you go.
Absolutely. I'm proud of all of you, by the way. So don't forget about that, too. I love you guys. All right. So Count, ready for the lore of the week?
Sure.
All right.
We traveled so far to get to the lore of the week.
We did. This has been a roller coaster of an episode. This is the weirdest episode I think I've ever shot. And this is coming from the guy who thought a Johnny Appleseed episode of Bob After Dark would be spooky.
By the way, we just got a text in here to my personal text line.
Oh, I'm telling you, you don't get that. That's the $500 Patreon tier.
You get Count Panic's number for $500. That might be a thing, too, as well. I'll give my number out for $500. A text from the text line. John texted in.
Oh, hey, John.
He says he put him down for a tank top. He'll be the first customer. He wants a
Excellent.
Tank top.
I will, as soon as the site launches, we'll make sure we can get him. I'll even make sure a tank top gets designed for him.
Perfect.
So, because I wasn't thinking about launching a tank top, but I will do that
you
just for you,
John.
People
that would like tank tops.
We'll launch a tank top, too, at launch. And I appreciate your – John is one of the biggest supporters I have. That man has missed.
He wears a lot of tank tops.
What?
He wears a lot of tank tops.
Well, then that's good. I'll take care of John. John gets a tank top launched with him, so good for him.
Perfect. First customer.
Absolutely.
And we didn't even really put merchandise up on.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So, anywho, Count Panic.
Yeah.
What's one of your favorite words that we ever discuss here on Bob After Dark? You get a big kick out of this.
Oh, favorite words. Is it hooey?
Creepypastas.
Creepypastas.
You
love
that.
I was on a hooey kick.
No, the hooey. The hashtag hooey.
Yeah.
Oh, if we got to design a hashtag hooey
hashtag
merch.
Hooey, sure.
The cool thing about my merch is I can put whatever it is I want on there.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's on demand.
On demand, exactly. I'm not worried about it not selling. If it don't sell, I take it down.
Oh, hooey.
All I'm doing is investing time into designing something, you know?
Creepypasta.
Creepypastas. Yeah. So the creepypastas are online spooky stories that are sometimes extremely well written. Like, these are the next horror writers of America. And they're also developing modern day lore, which is really amazing. You know, you look at the case of Slenderman is a made up story. I've covered them before on the show. The creator of Slenderman has come out and said, guys, I created this off of something awful for him when we were told that we were trying to make a scary monster. And he photoshopped him in there. But you ask people, they believe they've had encounters with Slenderman. And these people aren't just, you know, saying it for, you know, publicity. People legitimately believe they've seen him. Same thing with the Rake. In fact, the Rake is so important that our friend Jack from that's writing the book is writing a book about rakes and rake sightings. And I'm not talking about the gardening tool. So, and that's based off of a creepypasta. Yeah. So we look at these and we say, wow, man, where does this lore come from? But there is a subsection in the creepypasta world called ritual pastas.
Ritual pastas.
Ritual pastas would be those strange rituals that you find online or that was passed down to you from your older sibling or you heard about it from your older cousins or the older kids at school. Some of those include, but not limited to, things like Bloody Mary or the Mary Worth ritual.
Terrifying.
Absolutely. So those are all things.
Yeah.
Okay. So tonight we're going to look at some of some different ritual pastas I found. Some are really hokey, and that's why I like doing these things, because I don't suggest any of you do them. My personal we've covered a couple of these on the shows in the past, like the black phone ritual, where you have to dial all those numbers and remember what they are, and then you got to tilt the phone over.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And some of those are legitimately hooey. And then some of the ritual pastas, one of my favorites is the 11 Mile Road. Do you remember when we did that episode when you find the sparkle in the trees and you drive off and you got to make it 11 miles while your car is getting torn apart and stuff. And you make it through and you get your greatest wish found in the trunk of your car. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. That was extremely well written. I have went and looked for the 11 Mile Road, never found it. But so these are just a handful of ritual pastas that I found interesting. And what we're going to do is we're going to give it the Count Panic seal of approval. So after every ritual, we're going to ask Count Panic what he thinks about this and if it would work.
Okay.
So not only does he think it would work, but we're also going to see if he would attempt it.
All right.
All right. So our first one comes up is called Night in the Woods. There is an old game that dates back as far as humans have held malice towards each other and the world around them. To play this game, you do not need any special equipment, but I would recommend taking a few things with you, as you'll probably need these to survive. 1. Take light or heavy clothing, depending on your area. You'll know which to take if you're familiar with the place that the game takes place in. If you don't, it's better to pick light clothing if you have a good pain tolerance. take a phone if possible. This can provide light as you'll be playing in the dark, and the time which is very helpful. Make sure to turn it on silent, though. Try to find an uncommon weapon. The best suggestion for this is some kind of your own weapon that has a strange design and usage, but still works well. I'll explain later. If you can't, just bring a small handgun or a knife. And four, something to start a fire would be helpful, like a match or a lighter. If you don't have any, get one or learn how to start a fire with sticks and kindling. To start this ritual, you need to go to the largest forest near you. Trespass if you need to, but make sure you won't get shot on sight. Not that people with the same mind would be out this late anyway. It's better if you're there earlier to get a feeling for your surroundings, especially when there is still daylight. But the least I'd arrive is 10 p.m. Make sure you're well rested. You'll need the energy. The first step of the game is to find a dark opening of some kind. It can be a cave, an animal den, anything large enough to throw a rock in, and something that you cannot see into naturally. No, the dark forest will not work. If you cannot find something like it by 11 p.m., just give up and go home. Then, grab a rock bigger, the bigger the better, but if you couldn't find a large opening like a cave, a small one will do too. You can either check your phone or watch if you see it, or use the moon to determine its time, but once it hits 11:30, it's time to begin. Go to the opening and grab your rock. Make a small fire with whatever you brought with you, or just use one with sticks. This is the tricky part. Try to remember someone you hate. It could be even your own actions. Channel all of that negative energy in yourself and drop the rock into the fire. In doing this, you're releasing the malice form of yourself from yourself and allowing it to take form into something else. In this case, the rock, though I'm sure there are other methods of doing it. If you did it correctly, the rock will burn. Reach and grab the rock. If you have been following the steps perfectly so far, you will feel no pain from the fire. However, the fire will make you uncomfortable, will make you feel uncomfortable rage or sadness. Try your best to control yourself. If you got anger instead of sadness, then this part will be a lot easier. It really just depends on your temperament as a person. Hurl the rock into the dark space and wait. If you did all the steps correctly, you will see something in the darkness very clearly. This is whoever you hate most. If you have strong negative feelings towards some kind of god, then you should probably not even try this. However, it's not too dangerous. Though even as simple as a human being, its strength and speed will be unlike any other. I've talked to a few people who have completed the ritual, and I can give some examples of what you might come across. One of them had two abusive parents that ruined his childhood. Both of them were there in the shape they were in when he was a kid, but much with a superior physical build. Another was a stung of a wasp when he was a toddler and feared them ever since. His enemy took form of an anthropomorphic wasp with giant wings and a big deadly stinger. The last of them held malice towards the God of Abraham, but he had enough foresight to learn to hate one of the angels instead. What he fought was, well, an angel. It wasn't the cute baby cherub with wings that they display in paintings. It was a humanoid abomination with thousands of eyes and a giant spear. Whatever your enemy will be, it will come forth. The spirit has been a part of all of us since the dawn of time. It is the ugly side of everyone, and it is your enemy. It will say, "You have decided to face your innermost adversary, the strongest of them all, the antagonist of all humanity. Do you have the willpower to face me? This is your final chance to turn back. And after seeing whatever horror that your mind constructed, you might not be able to face it. If you choose to do so, then reply with, yeah, sure. The game has begun. You must survive in the woods until the sun starts to rise. Regardless of the weather before, it will now be scorching hot, and no amount of clothing that you wear will change this. If you wore something heavy for protection against thick vines and thorns, then don't bother taking it off. It won't change a thing. Just endure it. You have a small head start in this game, so use it wisely. Your enemy will have wickedness and strengths depending on what it is. You can analyze its form and look at the behavior during the game to decipher this. If your enemy is a human, then its weaknesses will not be having strengths of many horrors of mankind that have powerful strengths. every form has in common some sort of superhuman speed, so you'll never be able to outrun it directly. It's it if it falls or if it's fall or winter. Jeez, they wrote this weird. If it's fall or winter, then there are likely to be leaves on the ground, but most people would attempt this in the hotter months. Try not to make too much noise, though if it did take place in the middle of winter or fall, then this is redundant. Most forms have an incredible hearing and other sensory enhancements. Most animal forms will have an incredible smell and will be able to track you with ease, so trying to be quiet is useless. Take the enemy's weaknesses and use it to your advantage. Anything that can fly will likely not be able to utilize its power very well thanks to the nature of forests. You can hide, keep running, or try to fight it. Fighting it is an option, but not one that is very recommended unless the form takes favors speed over strength. Remember the advice earlier about making your own weapon that is very unusual? The spirit knows all about the various tools humans use to kill each other throughout mankind, and it knows how to counter everything that has been used before in hateful context, meaning just about every weapon in the world. So if you manage to make a completely unique weapon, then you could surprise the spirit and possibly take it down. You'll never kill it, but attacking it will leave it injured and it may lose some of its strengths. Don't even bother trying to fight it outside of self-defense if you did not make a weapon. I recommended bringing one anyway, just for self-defense purposes if it reaches you, but fighting it directly with a common weapon is a death sentence. The form will instantly attack you if it reaches you. Struggle as much as you can, as it will not be merciful. This is an entity of pure hatred and it will not hold back. It will tear you to shreds, control your body, and use your last moments of the living cause of hatred to spawn in the world. It may murder a model citizen, cause everyone forever to hate you in their memories. Or it may cause you to end your own self right in front of a loved one and cause them eternal grief. You do not want this thing catching you. If you can manage to survive until sunrise, then the form will instantly come back to you. Here, you have two options. You can either reject your hatred and live a life of as a peaceful pacifist, full of bliss peaceful bliss forever, or if you wait, the form will return to you and with it some knowledge. It will tell you exactly how to achieve happiness for yourself, though this will come at a price of many hating you for all eternity. I will not tell you which one to take, as both have their merits, but I took the latter, and I was granted the knowledge how to best spread this knowledge of the game and telling the world how to play it, and I will achieve true happiness. Though, those of you who attempt this and seal their fate as the scum of the society may not like that I chose that option. Cop panic.
Yeah, Bob.
All right.
A lot to unpack here.
All right. One, what do you think of the ritual?
There's a lot going on in that ritual, I got to say. Lots of moving parts, as they kind of say in the
beginning. Yes.
Yeah.
Would you do it?
I feel like I would play all these safe here, Bob. I don't think I would partake.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
It just seems.
So you don't want to know the knowledge that would make you true happy?
The risk is not worth it. Worth the award.
What do you think your thing would manifest into? It would manifest into something that you hate.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it would manifest into, what do I hate? Maybe pineapples.
It would manifest into a giant humanoid pineapple?
That'd be terrifying.
That would be terrifying.
I'm going to go with pineapple.
Okay, that's fair. Mine would obviously be a doll. And ask me if I would do this ritual.
Would you do the ritual?
Absolutely not.
No.
The reward is the reward of knowledge to make me happy. Exactly. I can care less.
Yeah. I mean, it's either go toe-to-toe with a giant doll or know the knowledge to the happiness. And as we both kind of agreed upon, the risk is not greater than the reward.
It is not. All right.
Pass.
Pass. I'm going to pass too. Some of these, if the reward's worth it, like infinite riches or whatever, I'll make the risk.
Well, it depends.
But for me to fight a giant doll that could outrun me or outpower me.
Depends on the risk, right?
I ain't about that life. No, my best bet would probably make like a t-shirt gun.
This one has to. Yeah.
Because nobody uses that. And is it,
this one has too much risk.
Yes. All right. Next ritual is called He Waits for You.
He Waits for You.
As the dead of winter approaches, you may find yourself alone at night, feeling isolated and abandoned in an all too empty bed as the night grows older and even bleaker. Ghastly shadows dancing across the wall, the crying wind battering against your window, an ambulance siren in the distance, and there is no one there to convince you that you didn't hear those gunshots. There's no one there. No one there. But do not be afraid. He waits for you. Wait for the moon to hide itself, perhaps behind a gathering of clouds. Midnight is the best time to do this. Just close your eyes and hold your breath and leave your bed. You may open your eyes once you exit your bedroom. Get dressed if you'd like, because you'll be leaving your house soon. Take nothing with you except for what that you can keep in your pockets. Then drive out of town. Drive as far away from civilization as you possibly can. Eventually, the air will become still. The dense fog will form just a short way down the road. You will hear nothing but silence as you approach it. Let it consume you in your vehicle. No harm will come to you from it, I promise. Do not be afraid. He waits for you. The fog will lift. You will see a dimly lit motel, stranded and alone in the night. Just like you. As you walk inside, you notice that no one else is there. The only sign of human inhabitants was a small key left on the front desk. Take that key. Wander the corridors until you find the proper room that opens with said key. You will know exactly where it is, but you won't know why. Use your key to enter this room, walk in, lay down on the bed. It's more comforting than your bed at home. There's nothing but pure silence for miles. Death hangs in the air all around you, and it's so cold. You are still alone and frightened, but it's okay. He's frightened too. And it's just so cold, cold enough for you to hold your pillow close to your body, burying your face in softness and embracing it, pretending that it's a lover all you want. You won't feel safer, but you will feel warmer. Open your arms, lift up your head. The warmth is in his arms. Two twisted, mutilated arms tracing down your body. There he is, and he's frightened too. You can see it in his blackened, spherical eyes, fixating upon your face and twinkling with the light of another dimension. The light shines in specks beneath the parched skin, making him glow from the inside. Bruises cover his decaying neck, as well as a deep finger-white indents, as if someone had tried to strangle him. He sighs and softly caresses your face. The skin of his hands begin to flake off onto you. And you want to sweep it away, but you're stunned, completely stunned, and by the strange creature that's completely enamored by you. At least you're not alone anymore. You'll then gather enough will to take your hands and gently lift him off of you, placing him on your side. You will get a better look at him. His legs are disturbingly crooked, having been broken in so many places and healed in ways that they weren't just meant to. He won't stop staring at you, small, glistening teardrops from his eyes, and he shivers and trembles, trying to form words with his torn mouth. You can't tell exactly what he's trying to tell you. It doesn't matter for now anyway. He will want to touch you and hold you and comfort you. Whatever pain you have ever felt from loneliness, whatever sorrow you may have felt in your entire life, he feels it too. His tears fall onto you and he lies back in submission. He will let you do anything you want to him. He knows that no matter what you do, it will never hurt him as much as what others have done. It will never hurt him as much as the isolation he's felt in this motel. As you gaze upon his twinkling eyes, you may gain a sudden urge to mutilate him and punish him for existing the way he does. But please be kind. He loves you after all. Spend a night with him. He'll let you do anything, and he won't be able to speak. But be sure to leave the room before sunrise. He will do everything in his power to keep you from leaving. He will grab on you, cry, scream at you. Tears will gushing from his glowing eyes, disintegrating his skin even further. But no matter how much you pity him, leave, resist him, and leave. If you don't, you will be trapped forever and doomed to live in the same existence he does. Don't let him follow you. Just close the door behind you and lock it. You're alone again. Next thing you know, you wake up in your own bed at home, and sometime after the sun has risen. The events of last night will feel as if nothing was but a dream. Everything in your home is left where you left it last. Your car, your clothes, everything. Then you are lucky. Something incredible will happen. Within a few days, you might just meet a new person. This person is everything you want, and it's as if they were made for you. Within time, the two of you will fall in love, and you will almost forget about the ghoul in the motel, and forget about those glowing eyes staring at you. All that matters is that you'll be in love with this wonderful person, and they love you. But once they move in with you, Things will get progressively stranger as you lie together in bed. You might hear a faint scratching on the door or an all-too-familiar cry. But don't worry, your companion will keep you from becoming too worried about it. The next night, the cry will become a shriek, the scratching will become a pounding, and only you can hear it. No matter how hard you try to convince your partner of what you hear, they will just only tell you to go back to sleep. And one night, you'll notice that the noises have vanished. Nights will be peaceful again, and it will be just you and your partner. But from them on, you will constantly look upon your lover's eyes. You will notice a new glow in them, eyes twinkling with the lights of another dimension. Don't be afraid. He waited so long for you. Can't panic.
Yeah. So I'm going to. So, okay. You're allowed to just leave, though, right? But if
yes.
You leave, he comes back kind of.
He takes the form of your lover.
Reincarnated.
Yes. Or he possesses them.
So if you were to stay there, what happens?
You're stuck in the motel.
So there's no winning here, right?
No.
So there's no good options here.
No. Would you like to know the worst part about this that you've missed upon?
What?
It never tells you when you could breathe again. Mm. You're supposed to close your eyes and hold your breath. It says you can open your eyes, but it says nothing about being able to breathe.
Yeah.
I'm out already.
But there's no, okay, so, but what's the easiest way to avoid all of this?
Don't do it. Just deal with the loneliness, I guess.
So just don't go in the room. Because
just don't even leave your room. Don't do the closing eyes and trying to drive out in the middle of nowhere.
No.
Just don't do that. I don't recommend you find the abandoned motel with this ghoul.
There's no good scenarios here.
There's no good ending for you. Yeah. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Yeah. Would you do it?
No.
No. I wouldn't either.
You told me not to.
No, I wouldn't do it either. I'm not in the market to, like, go find another lover and then the lover becomes possessed by this thing. I'm perfectly happy where I'm at.
Yes.
All right. You ready for the next one?
Yeah.
The Dead Poets Game.
All right.
The following is a set of brief instructions on how to play the Dead Poets Game. Most of you have probably never heard of this ancient phenomena that circled around England in the late 1800s during the Industrial Revolution. This practice can still be used by certain people, but I must warn you that you will partake in an extremely... what you're about to partake in is extremely dangerous. You must follow all instructions perfectly or else your life will be forever endangered. Now, you may be asking yourself... What's the Dead Poets Game? Well, in the late 1800s, stories of ghosts and goblins were circling all throughout Northern Europe. Everybody only thought of these spirits as mere fairy tales. It was, of course, all too true when one night at the London Theater, someone performed this exact game in front of a large audience. This man was a psychic who was mostly renowned for his unbelievable talent of precognition. Alex Kingsley was his name. He mostly performed magic tricks and various other acts of illusion, and even I can't figure it out. One of which was when he seemingly cut off his own foot and then reattached it within 60 seconds. Of course, I'm just getting sidetracked. With the craze of ghosts and demons becoming famous throughout the world, Alex used it to his advantage. He was going to play a little game that he had heard of and wanted to test it out to see if it was real or not. The items needed are a candle, two glasses of wine, hopefully, house cab, that's my favorite, two glasses of wine, a table, and two chairs. You'll see why later. Alexander heard the tales that what would happen if he played the game and thought it would be a good idea in order to bring in profit, as one does. You see, at the time, his trick said, well, gotten a little stale, if you know what I mean. The idea of actually summoning a ghost on stage was the perfect idea to reel in a crowd. Smart thinking, Alex. Soon, posters and advertisements were all plastered all across London. Come and see the mysterious ace, for tonight at 8 o'clock he will summon the undead from their peaceful slumber. Come and see yourself at the London Theatre House. Of course, this was back when literally everyone was a gullible idiot, although nothing has really ever changed. Now has it. At the time, Alexander, or Ace, was going to perform in the game improperly. He wasn't acquainted with the key rules as one has to follow. But luckily for you, I have the rules. The rules. 1. You gotta be alone. 2. You have to do it in a place where someone had died. 3. You have to take everything seriously. Alex was disrespecting these rules to the core, and the punishment was for not following the rules. And, well, you see why later. The setup you have to follow is that you have to be in the vicinity where somebody recently passed away. In fact, you need to place your table in the exact spot in which they had died. You need to put your chair where the victim's head was pointing and the other where the legs were. It also matters who died. It needs to be the body of a poet. Hence his name. A poet can be described as a calm, well-spoken, and nice soul. So if your husband was a very humble and collected person, then you could play this game. The reason for this is because you will be contacting the spirit, and it'll often take the shape of a soul trapped in that area. If you want to have a nice conversation with the spirit, you wouldn't want to take it taking the shape of a demon, now would you? This brings us to the first rule. Be alone. If you aren't alone, then the spirit may possess the poor soul who didn't sit down at the head chair, and as I call it. And trust me, it is very hard to save the soul from this fate. If the other person gets possessed by the ghost, will have full control of their body. Sometimes, if it's a demon, then your friend will do unspeakable things to you and anyone around that person. This rules apply as if you don't sit down at the head chair or if you don't want the table placed at the right spot. If you're like me, at this point, you're probably predicted the fate of Alexander and his audience. But trust me when I say this, not following the rule in which you're supposed to act in a sensible manner is the worst one of them all. And poor Alex was a 19th century magician with brightly flamboyant colors for clothes. Not following this could haunt you for the rest of your days, but the fact that Alex was breaking all of these rules was even worse. To properly play, you must lock yourself in the room, closing all the blinds to be sure to do it at night. No light must be in the room at this time except for the faint flickers of the emanating from the candle that you need to place on the table. Take out the two wine glasses and pour glasses of alcohol of your choosing. This symbolizes a peace offering to the spirit, showing that you mean no harm to the spirit itself. I should remind you that you must have no form of technology in the room. Also, make sure that you have no way of contacting anyone else from the outside world. If to start, you must call the spirit. You must call to the spirit that you mean no harm. You pour their glass and raise your own and take a sip. If done correctly, after lowering your glass, there will be someone sitting across from you. At this point, you must not display any signs of fear in your voice or facial expressions. You must not provoke the spirit in any way. You must act sensible. To start the game, you must say, "I wish to start a match." The ghost will usually nod and raise the glass. The spirit will be taking the appearance and personality of a deceased body of your choosing. Remember that you must treat the spirit as if it's actually a real body in the room. If you don't, then you might be met with weird looks and eventual frustrations and anger. Of course, nobody in their right mind would want to mess with a ghost. To play, you will have to say what letter you want to be, either A or B. To say it, you must say, "I strip you of the letter," and say your letter. If done properly, the spirit will take another sip. I should remind you that every time the entity takes a drink, you must too as well. For this is your timer. When both glasses are empty, the spirit will leave. If both glasses are uneven, the spirit will not leave until you have finished. Now again, you might be thinking to yourself, "Well, that isn't so hard. All I have to do is finish drinking, and then this ghost leaves. So what's the big deal?" Well, I can certainly tell you that you would want to spend as much time away from the spirit as possible. The creature is purposely trying to get you drunk so that they can reveal your deepest, darkest secrets, and it could find out about your personal life, your job, your family, your relationships, etc. This is just a way for the spirit can enter your mind and slowly dissolve it. Just by choosing choice words, it can cause somebody to, end themselves. Some entities have powers and abilities that we have yet fully understand. Angering or pleasing this or agitating spirit like this can have dire consequences. The game plays like this. Player A will ask a question and player B will have to answer it. After the spirit answers that, it will take a sip, then the letters will alternate. You will be player B. The spirit will take question and then you take a sip. You can ask any question you want, and so can the spirit. You can keep alternating until both of you run out of wine. When that happens, whoever is player A, when the wine runs out, automatically wins the game. If you win, the spirit will raise the glass and walk in the shadows. Remain seated even when he's returned to the rightful place. Blow out the candle and turn out the lights and exit this room. Sounds relatively easy, doesn't it? Of course, that what happens when you lose is a whole other story. If you lose, then the spirit will blow out the candle. Turning on the light is probably the best defense mechanism against the spirit. Ghosts aren't drawn to light and often avoid it. Still, that doesn't mean you're safe. The spirit may start following you through your life. Every time you go into a dark room, you'll see it just out of the corner of your eye. Whenever you look into a mirror, you'll see it just standing right behind you. It'll stalk you, haunt you down until you finally muster up enough courage to say these words: "This soul is yours. It's yours to do the business with." If you say this successfully, then you'll just black out and you'll wake up in a room similar to your own, except darker and stranger. There's no doors or windows, just a bed. The spirit now has your soul and can use it. You can choose to do it whatever it wants with your body. Think of a strange realm of a sort of a waiting room. As soon as someone else wants to play, you will be summoned and forced to play. If you lose, then you will be forced back into that room and you will have to wait again. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Usually you are the person in this dimension, and until you're summoned, nobody else can enter. A year before this phenomena had spread through England and made popularized by Alex, a violent prisoner by the name of Pierre played this game. Using the dead body area of his unlikely cellmate, he had heard the game and has heard of the effects. He thought that if he lost and was summoned somewhere like England, he would be able to make his escape from life imprisonment. So, locked up in this French prison, he performed the game. He purposely lost, not knowing the horrible fate was what his actual fate was. He spent a whole year in this prison, screaming in agony, banging on the concrete walls as he got no response from anyone or anything. He went insane. He became the very definition of a demon. He's able to form sentences. He couldn't self-harm. He couldn't think straight, and all I could think of was that he was living in a hellhole. Then, one cold November night, Alexander raised the demon from his cell with no real way of a human form and with an overwhelming audience of bodies to possess. Pierre could not control himself. He was transformed into his natural body and accepted his age exponentially, and he stank of feces and urine. His clothes were tattered and worn out, and he was screaming like a rabid dog. He was foaming at the mouth, and he attacked Alex and took his body. Pierre had become Alex. He ran out of the theater. Crowds were running after him, some calling him a genius, others calling him a monster. Alexander automatically lost the game. He didn't follow the rules, and thus his fate was befallen to him. And so, if you've learned anything from this, do not risk by playing the game. It will ruin you, it'll destroy you, it'll dismantle the very fabric of your world. If you choose to play the game, I suggest playing alone. Hashtag panics take.
Yeah, I don't know. Bob. So far, I think I'm 0-3. I don't think I would play along with any.
What do you think of the ritual, at least? Do you think it's interesting?
It is interesting, but again, it's nothing that I would do.
I ain't doing that. I'm done.
I think generally everybody, the whole population, probably stand back from all these situations. There might be some brave few out there, Bob, but I for one, wouldn't partake.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
For our last one. This is a short one.
Hit me with it.
All right, so this one's called The Forgotten Vending Machine.
Forgotten Vending Machine.
There is a village somewhere in England that has not been inhabited for over 20 years. It has long since been forgotten off of most maps and only has one road in and out of it. If you manage to find it, it will seem like a peaceful enough place, the derelict buildings being overgrown with nature taking back its land for herself. However, somewhere within the village is the vending machine, which still has power. It will still have its original look and sell ordinary brands of drink, though just 20 years old packaging. However, the one at the very bottom will be marked E. Pay only 10 cents to drink, to buy this drink. Before drinking this mysterious beverage, peer inside the can to check its color. Do not try to pour some out. It will refuse to leave the can despite any vigorous shaking you may attempt. If it's green in color, drink heartily, and it will give you an unnaturally long lifespan and good luck to everything you do. If it's red, however, drinking it will spread a horrific pestilence over you, claiming one of your senses every 10 years after the date at you first guzzled the first fizzy drink. This is the easiest one.
What would you do, Bob?
If it's green, I'm gonna drink. If it's red, I ain't gonna drink it. Simple.
But there's
simple.
Gotta be a catch here, Bob.
If you drink the red one, you're out of luck.
There's not more to this.
No.
Oh.
That's all we got.
Well, then I'm with you.
You're with me. Oh, there we go. We found the one Count Panic would do.
I still think there's a catch here, Bob. There's got to be.
What? There's no catch, man.
All right. It just seems too simple.
Yes. So somebody in the comments below said, well, what happens if I want a Coca-Cola, a Pepsi, perhaps? And it says, I presume that doesn't have any, it doesn't have either, just the e-soda.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Don't drink the red liquid.
That's a wise words for any buddy out there, Bob.
Never I'd say so.
The red liquid right there.
So, as we wrap up this episode of Bob After Dark, for our live fans, I appreciate you sticking around. It's been a weird episode. Our podcast fans aren't going to know any different. They're going to be like, oh, everything just kind of ran normal. We ran really late tonight because I didn't want to cheese out on an episode. You guys deserve a full episode, and I'm just going to bear with being tired.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we did it, though.
We did it. So thanks for sticking around, guys. I appreciate you all checking on us. Me and Count are fine. Nothing bad happened. We're okay.
Survived.
Yes, we're all good, and I hope that anybody affected by these storms are going to be okay.
Yeah, hopefully everybody's safe out there.
Absolutely. So, Count, before we take our leave, do you have any closing words for our audience tonight?
No, I mean, it looks like we're going back into winter for a little bit here. So
for a couple days.
Get out those winter jackets.
Absolutely. Yeah. For me, folks, I just want to say goodnight to every one of you. To my mom, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable, and doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. Remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.